Weeks ago, I had a completely different sermon plan, but it's like at night I just couldn't fall asleep, and God's like, "Yeah, let's just talk about Galatians," because Paul, the way he writes in Galatians, is very straightforward, and everything. But what I'm going to talk about is kind of like, how do you like run back to the Father if you've fallen away? Because I know me personally in my life, from my testimony, I ran away, but it's kind of like I fell from God, but didn't even realize I did. And with the world the way it is today, from you don't know who's actually a going true Christian and who's a fake Christian, you don't know the difference. But in Galatians 5, tonight we're going to be looking at Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26, and Luke 15, 18 to 22. While y'all flip there, I'm gonna go ahead and tell y'all basically the three main points. Just kind of go ahead so y'all can go ahead and have them. The first thing we're gonna be talking about is Galatians 5 ends. What does it mean? What does the flesh want versus what the spirit wants? Because as a Christian, like when I was thinking about writing this, you had to like go back. The way my mind works, I went back to like the basis of Christianity. And I feel like we can easily just lose the sight of like what the basis of Christianity is, especially, I know for me, especially like going to college and everything, and seeing everything on social media, Snapchat, Instagram, doesn't matter. The world is, like if you look on the news and everything today, the world's gone dark. And but in Galatians 5, verse 15 to 26, Paul lays out like what does it mean to be a Christian? And it's through the fruits of the Spirit. So it basically says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you lead by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I'm just going to kind of stop right there for a second. Basically, what Paul's saying is like, if you walk by the flesh and not by the Spirit, then you're not showing God. That's basically what he's saying. Because the flesh is what the world wants, which is what you look like on Instagram, popularity, what your friends think about you, what maybe that one coworker or that your boss thinks about you, or maybe like the just kind of like in general, like maybe your boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't matter. But it's like whatever that person thinks about you or whatever you put before God, that's what the world wants. But the Spirit wants what God wants, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all the other ones. verse 19, it talks about, but what Paul says though in 19, it talks about what the basically kind of like lists out like what the flesh wants, and that's sexual. It says the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, disinterestedness. I guess that's what it says. Factions and envy, drunkenness, orgy. I don't know. And the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the way I look at it is, if it says it right there and he's written it, and because think about it, during this time, Paul was being persecuted. He was thrown in prison. He written it, like, I don't know how many times. Like, he's like written so many letters. But while this was happening, he was being thrown in prison. He was being persecuted. He was being exiled. And there's a reason why he wrote this, even though he knew that he was going to die for his beliefs. But things though, with that being said, like that's what we don't need to live by, is the flesh. Because the flesh is like a way I understand it is like a weight. And it's basically, it's like you're so worried about yourself. It makes it so worried about yourself that you don't look good in front of God. And I know in my own life, like, if you're so worried about your own self, and you're so worried about what others think or whatever, then you cannot glorify the God because your light won't shine through the darkness. But Paul then comes back and says in verse 22 through 25, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ, Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Which basically that means is like, if we're living by God, then we should not be worried about that stuff. Because if we're living by any of the fruits of the Spirit, then our light should shine past our darkness. And basically, that can be anything from Instagram, like social media in general. I keep on saying Instagram because that's what I go back to. But like it was said, like this one time at Passion 2023, I'd never been Passion. It was awesome. But the person that got up there was Sadie Robson. And she made a good point. And that's what I try to do in my own life. That if you may have a Bible verse or whatever on your Instagram, but if you're not showing, like all your pictures, Bible verses, my stories, or whatever, if you're not showing God and it's just yourself, then how can people see God through you? So that may be like I know with what I did was, on my Instagram, I put like a Bible verse or I put something on my story. And just kind of to kind of like show people, hey, yeah, all this is fine, but kind of like this is what my life more so means to me than anything. But if you're showing like just maybe a selfie of you or your friends or just anything like in general, maybe that cool party you went to or something, then you're not going to show, you're not showing God the light at all. You're showing yourself. And you're basically worshiping the world, you're worshiping yourself. But with that being said, in John 10, verse 10, and I'm the type of person, whenever I look at the Bible, I go back, I look at history, I look back at context and everything. That's just how I am. I love history. But John 10, verse 10 says, a thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and life have it abundantly. And that's basically a clear example of like what Satan wants and what God wants. Satan wants to come kill everything, destroy everything. But God comes to have life and life abundantly. It says over in like a verse in Luke where God leaves the 99 to get the one. So back then, a shepherd would watch over a flock of sheep. And if they will count all the sheep and everything. But then missing one sheep, they'll leave all the other sheep behind just to go retrieve the one. And that one's us, basically, for God. That's what he means. Like, the sheep, how can I put this? The sheep, basically, if it's like wander or lost, it'll take the shepherd days, nights. It'll take them a long time, sometimes over a few weeks, just to go get the sheep and bring them back. Because that's how important they are to them, because they love them so much. But yeah, but that the next point, it's going to be in how do we run back to the Father? Because if we know like what the flesh wants and what the Spirit wants, that leads me to the question, how do we run back to the Father? And it talks about in Romans 9, verse 10, that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But then everybody talks about that like when they go on mission trips and everything, but no, I haven't really seen anybody going to verse 11. Which it says, as the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And that word disgrace, it means that God would never like shun you, he would never find like forsaken you. Like once you're saved by him, you got like a stamp of approval and you're with him all eternity. That doesn't mean like doesn't matter how many times you got baptized or whatever. That first time you ever met God and you accepted him, he's with you. But a good example of this is in the prodigal son, John 15, verse 18 through 22, which says, I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with him love and compassion. He ran to him, to his son, to embrace him and kiss him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to him, the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet. But that's what he's basically saying is example, especially in verse 22, what I looked at like was, okay, there's two sons, one who's fallen away and one who's worship, like not worship, but like one who's followed his father and stayed with him. Even the other son, we know in the end, that was jealous because of this happened. But the son and the father, that is a clear example of how God shows us and how we are. Sometimes we may fall away from God and we don't even know what we did because we're all human. It says in Romans 3, verse 23 to 24, for all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God, but are justified freely by his grace through redemption of Christ Jesus. That means that nobody's perfect other than God, God alone, and his son Jesus, which is 3-in-1. But this shows an example of how God is with us, open arms. All we got to do is go back to him. It's like in the song by Cody Carnes, Run to the Father. He's not talking about, like, when I hear it, he's not talking about just how we need to go back to God. He's talking about how, like, we all sin and we just need to go back to God. And how, like, once we get back to God, it's the best thing in the world. It's not talking about, like, how we need to go back to God maybe once in a while, get him out of our back pocket and do that. Like, or the way I understood it is, like, how, like, there's a bus and God's driving the bus. But how sometimes we want to grab the bus because we want to go do this one thing, but we don't want anybody or our friends to show it. But that's not how that works. Because faith without works is dead, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So that's basically, like, if you just look at it and step back and look at it, that's a big, just clear example of Jesus giving us, like back then, everybody's wondering, like, hey, how do we run God? Like, how do we do this? Because back then, it was word by mouth. But God tells us in this parable that, like, this is a clear example of everything. Then the last point is, oh man, I'm doing good. How can we influence others and how do we act? We can influence others by the fruits of our spirit. Like I said about in James, how it talks about faith without works is dead. The fruits of the spirit, it takes action in order to, like, to share God's gospel and everything. I know from my experience, I had stepped out on faith like millions of times, especially this past spring break when I went to the Dominican. I never flew over by myself to another country by myself. And it was the most scared thing I ever done before in my life. Because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know, like, I knew I was with my friends, but I didn't know, like, what was going on. I'd never been down there before in my life. So I knew about all the bad, like, terrible things that's happened down there. And yeah, it was pretty scary. Like, I remember this one time there was a guy coming and he was on his truck and he had these big guns and I was sitting there preaching the gospel and he stopped me, just wondering what I was doing. It scared the crap out of me. But God calls us to be lights in the darkness, which to me, when I think about that, that's like him wanting us to be kind of like wanting us to go and share our friends, tell our family, tell our grandparents, whoever it is, that the good news that God's gave us. He said, if we keep it us inside, and then we know our friends are going to hell, that's not good. Like I know it's going to be tough because I know I was scared when I told my friend about God. It was the most uncomfortable conversation I ever had with him because I knew where he was going, but even though, sadly, in the end, he still had questions, but That's okay if you have questions. Like, that's okay if you need to go talk to somebody. Because that's not, like, your spirit, like, your eternity is more important than what you go do with your friends, go do with your family, everything. That's probably the most important thing. It should go God, then family. And then other stuff. Basically, God tells us that, we know this from Matthew 22, verse 27 through 28, which says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally as important, love your neighbor as yourself. So if God tells us like this is the most important commandment and it's in red, then it should be important to us. Like, I can tell you how, even though I go to a Christian school, go to Hartfield Academy, and I can tell you how many times I would go on a mission trip or something, and I was like, oh yeah, let's praise God, yeah. But then it's like, I think maybe 20% of them, maybe less, have come back, and it goes back to the same thing. Like, they don't show it. They don't go and praise it. They don't go and kind of like, you can't see God through them. Like, you can see, the people that's changed and stuff, you can see God through them. It's the most amazing thing. But then the people that, some of my friends, I can see, like, I can't even see God through them. And it's not me trying to complain about them or anything, but that right there, that shouldn't make you mad. That should make you worry. That maybe if it's not them doing it, then is it something that yourself? You need to, like, step back and, like, look at yourself and check and see. But then last part is something that God showed me back this past March when I was getting ready, is Act 1, verse 8, which is how we need to share the gospel to Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth, which it's not just in specific places. It's all over the world. Like, one text message, one Instagram post, one thing, one, like, message, one word by mouth or anything can share the gospel. Jesus had not just 12 disciples. He had millions of disciples during that time. And back then, it was all word by mouth. They went out to the ends of the earth spreading the gospel. And it reminds me a lot of the story of Babylon, about the Tower of Babel, where it's like they spread the gospel until, like, because God, like, dispersed their languages. They were all one language, but then they dispersed. And they went to the ends of the earth, like, doing their language and stuff. But, yeah, that's basically the last bit of it. Like, in, like, an overall thing, basically, like, what Paul and, like, Jesus and everybody saying is how, like, we just need to show God through the fruit of the Spirit and not through the flesh. And how, like, God wants us to kind of be all in for Him. Because if we're like the wind, we're going to be like lukewarm, and that's not good. God wants all of us, not this part of us. Because if we think we can do something else, and then, like, that God's not already done for us, then we're not actually living out Christ through us. But yeah, that's basically it. Thank you.